Welcome to the Unpacking It podcast with Bryce Johnson. It's a show that unpacks sports, faith, and life with intriguing guests from the sports and entertainment world. Enjoy inspiring conversations and thought-provoking interviews. You'll hear stories from people that will inspire, challenge, and encourage you. Now, from the Unpacking It studios in Charlotte, North Carolina, uniting sports fans everywhere, here is Bryce Johnson.
Welcome to the Unpacking It podcast, where we unpack sports, faith, and life with intriguing guests from the sports and entertainment world. I'm Bryce Johnson. Hope you are doing awesome. I am back. My wife and I just had a baby daughter, Michaela Jean. She is doing awesome, and it is fun to be back here in the studio, especially for today's interview. And man, it was nice being off for a couple of weeks, enjoying the family, trying to adapt. We're still in that process. It's a wild ride going from one to two, and just a lot to learn. Very humbling, very humbling. Got to depend on the Lord for strength, energy, wisdom, clarity, patience, grace. I need it all. I don't have it in and of myself, that's for sure. But today on the show, we have got one of our favorite guests. I believe this is the fifth time David Pollack has been on Unpacking It, and I believe that is the most of any guest. So he's right up there anyway. So really excited to have him on. Of course, he's from ESPN, college football analyst, College Game Day. He's got a new podcast out with Rhys Davis, and he's all over ESPN and does a great job, great energy, and just an awesome family man, man of God, and delivers a bunch of wisdom today on the show. And just as we get into this, know that early on, we talk a lot of family. He's just got a lot of thoughts about being a dad and just some really good stuff. And then we get into a lot of the football talk as well with the season starting up. And he shared his national championship pick during College Game Day. So I asked him about that and what kind of coaching situations he's most intrigued by in regards to new coaches at college football programs. And then I asked him about Mac Jones being the starter at New England. So a lot to get to with David Pollack. And then I asked him what family games they play. And so he talked about how competitive they are. So we'll get into that as well. Before we jump in, let me ask you this. Do you need to get your own health insurance? Well, go to healthmarketgenius.com. That's healthmarketgenius.com. Know your options and support them as they support us. All right, stick around at the end of the interview. I'll give you my big takeaways and kind of what I was encouraged by during the interview. But right now, let's jump right in. Here is David Pollack.
Intriguing guests and inspiring conversations. This is Unpacking It with Bryce Johnson.
And joining us now on the Unpacking It podcast is ESPN college football analyst. You know him from College Game Day. He's David Pollack, one of our favorite guests here on Unpacking It. David, football season is back. How are you doing?
Man, it is great. The grass is greener. The sun's brighter. Like, it's beautiful, baby. It's week one. It's football time.
That's right. So I want to talk all about football. Before we do that, though, you're driving back from a speaking engagement. Curious how that turned out and what did you speak on? And is there something that maybe you can even share with our listeners today?
Yeah, I didn't screw it up too bad. So, I did a little speaking engagement in Thomasville, Georgia, just for United Way. I've done a lot this offseason, but it's just, you know, my story a lot of time, what God's done in my life and how I've faced adversity and how you handle it and how I've handled it and just try to, and leadership and parenting and all that beautiful stuff, man, all the seasons of life that we're going through now. I got a middle schooler now or two middle schoolers now, both my kids, seventh and sixth grade now. So life's flying by like a lot of people have already seen in their lives. So just speaking on the experiences, speaking on all the screw ups, all the mess ups I've done and the ways I could have done it better. And my kids are turning out to be all right. So we're doing all right.
That's awesome. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about your kids in a little bit as well. But you mentioned that word adversity, and of course, you know, many of us are familiar with your story, and specifically from the football standpoint, injury and retiring early and all that sort of thing. But just for people listening today, there's so much adversity all around us. What's maybe a quick word of encouragement, something that you cling to just to even encourage yourself?
Well, I mean, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Mm. It's coming for us all. You know, listen, there's going to be something that comes up in your day to day that you have the choice whether you want to let it ruin your day or not. And you give it that power. So, you know, I just think you got to choose. It's, you know, you've heard the saying a million times, you know, it's not about getting knocked down. It's about getting back up. You know, it's just, how are you going to keep improving? How are you going to keep getting better? How are you going to take it and learn from it? I'm still a big person that believes in small goals and small things every day. Your purpose for what you do, why you do, has to be very important. We've got big goals and we've got big dreams, but those are daily things that need to happen to accomplish those big goals and those big dreams. And, you know, our why, our reason has to be so big in whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish that when you do get punched in the face, you're going to respond. Like, when it does get dark and it gets hard and it sucks, like, my why and my reason has to be so great and so purposeful that it's not going to deter me. And I'm going to keep fighting and fighting and fighting until I accomplish my goals and my dreams.
I love it. Amen. No, that's awesome. Well, what about for you? What is your why?
Well, listen, what I've learned is my why is different in different seasons and different phases in my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, like right now, my kids are in middle school. And, you know, my big why for them, or my big reason for them, is how much can I help teach them? How much can I come beside them? How much can I show them what it looks like? Because, again, more is caught than taught, right? Like, we got to show them. And actually, I was listening to a podcast, and I actually thought it was really great, because you think about how much you influence your kids, how much they take from you, how much, you know, you're modeling what it is to look like. But I thought it was interesting the way it was put, because I've heard that before, and I've thought about my behavior and who I am and what I am. But it was talking about how kids mirror your emotions more than anything else.
Ooh.
So you think about that.
Yeah.
Like anger, fear, worry. Those are things that, regardless of whether you think you are or not, those are things that your kids are getting from you. Those are things that will be their emotional homes. That'll be their emotional normal. So what do you want it to be? I'm trying to mirror joy and passion and triumph and challenges and stuff like that. So I think, you know, to me, it's about, like, my biggest focus and my biggest in life is about parenting. It's about being an example for my kids. It's about being a great spouse. Like, I'm in a big time phase of growing. Like, I don't know what my life's going to be in a couple years, because, you know, I'm really into the coaching thing and I love coaching. Now, I know I want to coach my kids first and I want to be an enormous part of their lives, and their 7th and 6th grade, and that is priority number 1 through 12th grade. But then that point, you know, I'm going to look at my life and I'm going to be, hey, I'm 44 years old. What do I want to do? What do I want to coach? How do I go impact lives and change people's lives for all eternity? You know, so that's, you know, that's kind of the goal, the direction for me right now.
Wow. Well, that's an exciting season of life. And gosh, kids already in middle school. So I'm a little bit behind you. I just had a daughter 2 weeks ago. So now I've gone from 1 to 2 daughters, and my other daughter's 2 years old. And so you've got 2. And so I don't know if you can remember back to when they were that young, but they're pretty close in age as well. So what advice do you have for me today as I go from 1 to 2?
Man, it's a lot different, obviously. The second one usually has a lot less fear, a lot more, you know, they're learning on the fly so quickly because they're watching their older sibling. But man, just enjoy the process, you know, set an example, demand a lot of them, expect a lot of them, but, you know, love on them, show them the way. But it's not about perfect. It's not about having perfect manners and being perfect at school and being perfect at sports, man. Just show them that it's about just giving effort in everything that they do. Be the best they can be. You're not going to be, you're not looking to try to be X, or you're not looking to try to be Y. Like, God made you for a specific purpose.
Amen.
He has such great plans for your life. And what that looks like, we don't know. But he's going to protect you. He's going to keep you safe. Your mommy and dad are going to keep you safe. And whatever comes your way, have joy. Hey, kill them. Give kindness away. I tell my kids all the time, give kindness away. Mm. Kindness is free. It costs you nothing. Every single day you go to school, it costs you absolutely nothing. It's free. Give that away at nauseam. Give it away as much as you can. But I think you got to show them those traits we just talked about, right? Show them what it looks like to be enthusiastic. Show them what it looks like to be positive. You know, show them what it looks like to be happy. That's all things that when they're young, man, they're going to learn it, soak it up, and then, you know, you try to enjoy it as much as you can because everybody says it goes fast, right? Like, it does. It does go fast. And you look up, and they're older and older. The journey's awesome, though. And my job is to train them and let them go, not train them and keep them.
That's right.
I mean, one day you're going to have to let them go.
Yeah. I'm already experiencing that just with the two-year-old, her being able to do certain things on her own now. And I thought to myself the other day, I go, that's kind of the point. You want to set them up and prepare them to be able to do it. So
hey, you know what? You know, one thing, your kids want to be around you when you want to be around them.
That's good.
And when you want, like, they want to have fun and they're going to have fun with you and be around you. If you provide that, if you show them that what they're doing is important, like be where your feet are, you're there. Plant where you're, or bloom where you're planted. Like, when you're, like, all y'all that are working and doing the job thing and all this stuff and you're so busy, that's fine, man. You have to do that. But when you get home, be there. Put your stupid phone away. Like, you're there. Be where your feet is. They're paying attention. They know that.
Yeah.
I mean, they see all that stuff.
That's great. I love it. Well, one more thing, because I saw this on your Twitter feed where you retweeted something from All Pro Dad. Three things your daughter wants from you. And so these were the three things. And so I'm just curious why this, you know, maybe resonated or encouraged you. But number one, she needs to know her dad sees and knows her. Two, she needs to know her dad believes in her. And three, she needs to know her dad accepts her just as she is.
So I think my wife probably single-handedly saved my relationship with my daughter.
Oh,
you know, I'm so much about, like, I'm not about the you fall down, I'm going to help you up thing. Like, life's going to knock you on your can. And if you're a boy or a girl, you're going to have to get up. And, you know, I treated Leah just like I treated Nicholas. And I was failing. And I was trying and I was doing what I thought was right. But my wife just told me one day, because I coach all my kids in all their sports, she goes, how about you just love her? Like, just love on her. And I gave her a nickname and I call her FC. And, you know, it's a kind of a wink, wink thing because it means favorite child. And I don't, obviously we don't say that in front of Nicholas, but, you know, I let her know she's special, man. Like, she's got my heart and she's, you know, she's unique and she's loved no matter what she does. And I've told you this before probably, but, like, you know, sports and all that stuff, like, I tell her every time, like, did you try as hard as you can? Yeah. Did you have fun? Yeah. I love you, regardless. Regardless of what the outcome is. And I needed to do a better job of showing her that I got her back and I love her. It actually got to the point with her, you know, the past couple years where I said, baby girl, listen, this is very important to me. Do you want me to be your cheerleader, your biggest fan, and just pour into you? Because I can do that. I can be your cheerleader, your fan. I said, or do you want me to do like I do with Nicholas and push him? And he, because Nicholas, my son's very honest. He's like, dude, I want to be pushed. I want to be great. Like, help me become great. And that's one of his prayers all the time. He's always like, he's always thankful. He's like, thank you, Daddy, for always being willing to work with me, always being ready to help me, always trying to push me to become the best version of me I can be. And my daughter looked at me and she was like, no, I want to be the best and I want you to push me. And I have to remind them of that sometimes because, listen, dude, God made me one of the most competitive human beings you'll ever meet. And it's my greatest strength and it's my biggest weakness. I can't tell you how many times my wife's gone to the bedroom crying from board games, bro. Like,
oh, just, no.
It's a hard thing for me to handle. And I screwed it up so much when I was younger because, you know, you go from being a professional athlete and then and competing for everything you get, everything. And if you don't, you're gone. To now, your son picks up sports for the first time at 5 years old, and it don't matter. They just care about how many lights are in the scoreboard and what kind of gum they're going to get. Like, so it was definitely, you know, it's definitely been something that I've had to work through and realize, like, hey, let's take yourself out of the equation there, homeboy. Like, how can you meet your, just like churches meet people where they're at, how can you meet your kids where they're at? And listen, I'd be lying if I didn't say it was a constant struggle.
Yeah,
it is, man.
Yeah.
It's a constant struggle for me. It takes prayer. Like when I go with my kids, when I go to just play something, which we do a ton, Nicholas yesterday turned to me, he's like, Daddy, let's go run routes in the gym. Mm. Like you just throw me the ball. We went out there for 30 minutes and he ran routes and he just, what I've learned is just shut up and let him do it. Like I just let him dictate what routes he wanted to run. I didn't tell him you need to do X, Y, and Z. He's like, I'm going to run a go. Okay. Throw a back shoulder. Okay. Throw a sluggo. Okay. I mean, all this different stuff. I didn't say a word, dude.
That's cool.
Yes. Sweet. And a couple, and 4 or 5 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I'm over there coaching the whole time. And I'm like, dude, just shut up. Like, just shut your daggum pie hole. You know what else? And here, I'll go ahead and vent this out to the world. Don't worry. I think I got it all figured out. Like, you ask me a question, and I want to help, and I always want to help everybody. And God's really been kicking me in the face lately, going, hey, how about you just shut your mouth and listen?
Wow.
Like, you always got some input from somebody else in their life. How about you just listen and be a good friend? Like, how about you just shut your mouth and listen? So I'm trying to work on not being Mr. Know-it-all and being Mr. Hey, if you got this problem going on, let's do this. And I'm like, listen, I don't know. You know, I don't know, but you're doing a great job. Like, I love you regardless, because I gotta worry about keeping my mouth shut.
No, that's a wonderful encouragement, and I'll receive that as well, because I'm a talker, and I sometimes think I've got the answers as well. So now that I've got two kids, though, I've quickly realized, yeah, I got nothing. I am back to starting over a little bit. So I'm right there with you. All right, so you mentioned the board games. What's the favorite family board game?
Dude, we have this Disney game that Leah loves. But we play a lot. We play cards. Me and my son play Speed a ton.
Oh, I like Speed. Is? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Speed is fun. And he, you know, we go at it a little bit. Then him and mommy go at it, which I love to see. But we love Spade. They love Clue. They love to play Clue and try to use the clues and figure it out. They love that one for sure, too. Scattergood. They love the gestures and the catchphrase.
Yes.
Like they love. If we have that sitting on the counter, somebody's touched it and got it running, and it's dick, 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 and it's ticking, and they're saying to me to guess things, and you're like, sometimes you're like, oh my God, just please shut up. And just keep coming.
Catchphrase is my all time favorite. So big fan of that.
Is good.
Yeah, look forward to my daughters being old enough to play that. That'll be awesome. All right, so we've talked family, little bit of faith. We got to talk some football with you because we are days away from the first official full college football day. And I want to begin though with today, which is September 1st. And back in 2007, I was a student at App State, and I was up at the Michigan game. And so I was there for the greatest college football upset ever. And so I want to hear from you as an analyst, an expert college football guy. Is that still the greatest upset? And with kind of the future of college football, will we ever be able to even see that type of upset again? All these years later, kind of what are your thoughts on that game?
Man, you got your greatest upset in college football history. You come out the gates with that, huh?
Let's go. Let's go.
Stanford over USC, Jim Harbaugh over Pete Carroll, and that magical run that USC was on was pretty ridiculous.
Yep.
Last year was cool. It was Louisiana versus Iowa State. You know, week two, I think it was. It was fun. There's been some big ones, but I don't think it gets any bigger than App State, Michigan. I mean, that just, even though App State was a really good program, just to beat the winningest program in college football history, that's a pretty big deal. But, you know, Louisiana plays Texas this week, which I think will be interesting. Texas kicking off their season and their new regime with Steve Sarkisian against a good Louisiana team. But I have to give App State and Michigan the nod for best upset.
All right. I like it. Very cool. Yeah. It's always fun this day to reminisce a little bit. And I've still got the Sports Illustrated cover and all sorts of paraphernalia from that big day. So that was a fun experience for sure. And so that's what's great about college football, the fans being able to be in attendance. So here we are. Last year, I remember when we were talking with you, we were wondering what's going to happen to the college football season, who's going to play, what is it all going to look like. Thankfully, we had the season. this year we get the fans back. So what did you learn from last year without the fans, and what are you anticipating in regards to the return of the atmosphere and the tradition?
Well, I mean, if you think about a college football player, you know, 98% or 90, maybe even more percent of what they do doesn't have fans anyways. Mm. You know, you're in the weight room grinding, you know, in the summer. You're in spring ball, ain't nobody there. You know, you're in empty stadiums, empty practice fields. Like, it's kind of what you do, you know, 90% of the time. So you're kind of used to it. It was very strange with, you know, the cardboard cutouts, and it was very strange, you know, not to hear, you know, when defenses are on the field, not to hear crazy noise. It was strange to hear calls. Like, you could hear the offensive calls every time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, not something you can hear at a lot of places. So I think bringing the fans back, just, you know, it brings the juice back, the shot in the arm. You know, I think more importantly, the product will be different because you went so long with, you know, kids in camp not even tackling a year ago and not being physical and not trying to limit contact. And I don't know if you know this, but football is a pretty big contact sport. If you don't practice it, you dang sure ain't going to do it in the games. So I think that's the most interesting component of the physicality and practice being different. And so I think the kids will welcome it. And I'll welcome the fans back even to our show on game day and in the stadiums, because it just creates a different atmosphere. It's a different feel than every other sport. It creates a sense of family and tradition, and it's just the rivals and all the stuff. Like, it just, you can't find that anywhere else. It's just the greatest place to find it.
No question about it. College game day needs the fans there, and you need Lee Corso there. So Lee Corso's back next to you on the set. And last year he was doing it remotely. So how fun has that been, at least week one, having him back in the mix?
Man, it's been phenomenal. It's awesome. It's great. And listen, we made a big deal of it last week, and we talked about, you know, Coach coming back, and, you know, we did it in the meetings, and everybody was congratulating Coach, saying, "Coach, welcome back." And he pulls his mask down, and he's like, "Where's the snacks?" Like, that's, you know, Coach is awesome. He's one of a kind.
I love it.
He's put his heart and soul into, you know, to what he does and what he loves. And it's just, you know, he's a lesson in humility every time I go on the road. And I just appreciate him so much. He's just so good to people. So I'm glad he gets to do something that he loves. Nobody loves what they do more than Coach Corso. And I'm happy he gets to do it.
That's awesome. I'm glad to see him back there. He just represents that show so well. And of course, all you guys add so much value to the show. But there's something about him and the heads and all that. So it's awesome.
He's the best.
So last week on the show, you actually gave your national championship prediction, and you went with your alma mater, Georgia. What has the fallout been? What has the response been like for you, as people, I imagine, give you a little bit of a hard time about it?
I'm going to catch it regardless. So you know, you're either a homer or I'm a hater, and I'm Benedict Arnold, the biggest traitor in the world, if I pick against Georgia. So I've been hearing it for years, and guess what? I don't give a crap. I mean, I don't give a rat butt. I'm gonna try to pick and try to be. All right, here's what I'll say: me and Reese, and just texting back and forth, and the producer on game day this past week, Jimmy G. And bro, I had no clue who to pick. I had no clue. Last year was easy for me. I picked Alabama. I thought it would be Alabama. I liked Alabama. This year, I think it could be Bama. I think it could be Clemson. I think it could be Ohio State. I think it could be Oklahoma. I think it could be Georgia. Like, good Lord have mercy. I mean, I could see if you asked me to pick a team and make a case, I could do it. Mm. And, you know, so this year is different. So I got Georgia. I got Georgia losing to Alabama in the SEC championship game, but beating them in the playoffs in the national championship.
There you go. No, that's all right. It's a fair choice. And I like when guys, I think we've talked about it on the show, but I like when analysts are honest about their team, good or bad, and they don't have to shy away from it. So I'm good with it. It's fair.
Hey, if you're going to be a traitor or a homer or a hater, whatever it is, you know what you want to be? You want to be right.
Yeah.
So I don't give a dang. I want to be right. And you can call me what you want. Like, Georgia fans are pissed at me when I picked Alabama to beat them years ago. I'm like, listen, I don't want it to be right, but I was right. So, yep. I mean, I've been wrong, obviously, a bunch too, but you just try it right.
That's right. That's the key. Well, so as we head into the season, I'm always curious, you know, new coaching changes, new coaches in certain programs. Which ones are you maybe keeping an eye on the most, have the, I don't know, biggest expectation for as far as a new guy in charge?
I think you immediately go to Texas.
Yeah.
You know, Steve Sarkisian made that magical run with Alabama. You're not in Alabama anymore. You don't have that talent, but you're in Texas, and Texas is obviously enormous brand. Everybody loves Texas. They've just really underachieved. And, you know, the brand that is Texas doesn't match the winning on the football field. And, you know, is he the guy? Because remember, it was Charlie Strong, and he was an up-and-coming young coach. And then you go to your next guy, and up-and-coming, everybody loves him. He's at Houston, and he's at Ohio State, and then he comes to you, and everybody hates him. So, you know, I think it's a tough gig. It's a tough job. That job is not easy, but I think everybody definitely points towards Texas. I tell you what, I'm interested to see LSU. They got new coordinators on both sides of the football.
Oh yeah,
and replacing you know, big time coaches that have had a you know, 1 year run basically. Those other guys got, you know, Dave Aranda left for the NFL and for a head coaching job at Baylor, and Joe Brady left for the NFL, and two new guys. So I don't like them. Okay, I'm going with two more new guys. So LSU, can they catch that magic and be back where they were? Because we know every year when you start the season, you know they got some of the best talent in all of the country.
No question about it. And speaking of Alabama, of course, the big story in the NFL this week, Mac Jones getting the nod to be the starting quarterback in New England. What did you think of that? And even what did you think of Mac Jones kind of going into the NFL? And now at this point, the fact that he's going to be the starter in New England, what do you make of that as somebody who follows college football as closely as you do?
Now, I'm not always right by any stretch, and I might be really wrong when it comes to Justin Fields, but I had Mac Jones as the number two quarterback coming out.
Okay, cool.
I thought a lot of Mac Jones. I thought a lot of his, you know, you saw Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and Najee Harris, and you're like, man, this dude's got every weapon. But you also saw the ball hit him in the face mask every time he threw it. And it was just beautiful. And I was like, good Lord. I mean, he was just kind of automatic. So I think he's really good. I think he's got a chance to be special. You see those traits already coming through. He throws the ball on time. He doesn't make the same mistake twice. He's super smart. He's been through some crap, too, by the way. You want to talk about a quarterback room. You know, he had Tua Tagovailoa in there with him, and he sat. He had Jalen Hurts, and he sat. Like, he sat behind everybody. Last year, Bryce Young was going to take his job as a new incoming freshman. So I think that, you know, he's proven that there's still a place for guys in football that are super accurate, super smart, even though they're not very athletic. And, you know, sent Cam packing already and had the Patriots release Cam Newton. So that shows you how good he's been.
Gosh, no, it was impressive just from preseason, just watching him hit guys in stride. And he was so confident and poised back there, really from the moment he stepped on the field again, even though it was preseason. So, but I expect it to translate week one in the NFL. So it's going to be fun. All right, as we wrap up here with David Pollack, we'll end on a faith note, and you already shared how God's kind of been revealing to you just to be quiet, to maybe not always have something to say. What is maybe something else you've been studying or learning or focusing on that our listeners today could be encouraged by?
Man, I'm a podcast junkie now. And I've been listening to all kinds of crap, man. It's amazing. Like, we have all the resources we need. I mean, you can find anything you want, man. Like,
oh, yeah.
You literally, whatever's important to you, you can find on a podcast that you can listen to and grow and get better. But nah, I mean, we're just starting a small group with my men's buddies that I hang out with. And, you know, we're about to start a series on Romans that I'm super excited about. And I got 10 of my buddies with me that are doing life with me, that want to improve, that want to grow. And, you know, I think one of the most important things in life is that you always talk about having, you know, you pouring into somebody, somebody pouring into you, and then you kind of going through life with somebody else. You know, that's the Paul, Timothy, Barnabas, like that's the whole, you know, you want to have that structure in your life. So it's kind of cool. I reached out actually to Coach Rick, and I've been doing speaking engagements with him, and I was like, dude, you know, I'm doing a men's group and I want to get together and I want to grow. And he's like, dude, I just finished one on Romans and it's the best thing I've ever done. Wow. And I was like, cool. I was like, what do you do about things that, you know, how do you find guys that are a little bit older? I was like, dude, I want to find guys that are older than me that can pour into me, that have been through the ups and downs. And I'm just kind of looking for that. I got a bunch of buddies that I'm doing life with and pouring into. And he said, I'll do it. And I was like, deal. Sounds good to me. So me and a bunch of my buddies are doing a study on Wednesdays on Romans. But, man, just going through life, middle school kids, and just so different, man. It's just so different of what they're hearing and what they're seeing and what they're asking about and what they're exposed to. And it's just, it puts more emphasis on what I'm doing at home. Mm. Like, what am I doing to combat this? Mm. What am I doing to keep them focused on the eye on the prize and what's the most important thing in their life? So, you know, accountability with my friends has been something that's been great, and small group and church and podcasting like crazy. So hey, we all got to keep working. It's windshield, not rearview mirror, right? Like, it's always, I'm looking through the windshield. What can I go get? What can I go after? Not what did I do? Not what have I accomplished? That doesn't mean crap. Mm. You know what I mean? So I think that's the main focus on me right now. And I think Dabo's the one that said it. I think he said, have to keep our dreams greater than our memories.
Mm.
And that's what I'm trying to do. Keep my dreams out ahead, and, you know, the memories not as important, but what do we want to go accomplish? What do we want to do every single day?
There you go. That's awesome. Well, I appreciate that. And actually, Coach Rick is going to be a guest on Unpacking It next week. So look forward to that.
Oh.
That conversation.
Good.
So
that's a good man right there, brother.
Absolutely. So to go back to back with you and him is pretty strong. So, man, I appreciate you always being willing to come on our show, and appreciate all your thoughts and encouragement and wisdom. And I love what you said about listening. So that's a good challenge to all of us.
Ask Coach Rick about me and Stinchcomb. It'll be a very good laugh for you.
I like it.
Just ask him about me and Stinchcomb and how practices went. What he thought about me and my teammates, and as a leader, because he, in his book, he says it about as funny. We did a speaking engagement a couple weeks ago, and it was the funniest thing ever. I was like, "Hey, Coach, is this a backhanded compliment? The way he described it?" I think he said, I don't know how he said it exactly, but he was like, he was really comfortable with people not liking him. I get what you're saying here, Coach.
You can ask about that. No, that's an interesting topic. I like that. That's cool. Cause there is something, there's a lot of truth in that. It's not always about being the most liked, but there is value in being liked. So it's like true on both sides.
Not liked.
There you go.
Respected,
there you go.
Not liked. I'm not worried about being liked, because some people don't like rich people. Some people don't like poor people. Some people don't like happy people. Some people don't like sad people. And by God, some people don't like people.
That's right.
Period. I mean, so you ain't going to please them all. You want to spend your whole life pleasing them all, you're in for a rude awakening. You can be the best version of you that you can be, and that's all you can control.
That's it. Yep. We'll please God, and we'll be all set. That's the key. So, David.
Thanks, all right, brother.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Enjoy the season, and keep up the great work. We appreciate it.
Boom. See you, brother.
All right. There you go. There's David Pollack joining us here on Unpacking It.
Intriguing guests and inspiring conversations. This is Unpacking It with Bryce Johnson.
And we're back in the Unpacking It studio to unpack the conversation with David, and a lot of good stuff in there. And of course, as a dad of two daughters, really, really good insight on just, you know, the idea that just how practical and simple it is to be present and enjoy what we're doing with our kids. So I love what he said about that in regards to, you know, put the phone away, which can be challenging, especially during fantasy football season. You got to check all your lineups, and, you know, I'm guilty of this. What's the latest news? But to just put it away, turn the TV off, which sometimes I like to have it on in the background, but to just play, to actually engage, not just, you know, casually play with our kids, but actually be all in. And it can be challenging. It really can. But I think the value of it, especially with how quickly time flies and kids grow up so fast. And so I'm just reminded and encouraged by what he had to say there. And then again, he had tweeted this on Twitter, three things your daughter wants from you as a dad. And this was from allprodad.com or .org, I forget. But here were the three. But a great organization, Tony Dungy behind that, Mark Merrill, who I've met before, awesome guy. So here are the three things, though, he said in the article. She needs to know her dad sees and knows her. Number two, she needs to know her dad believes in her. And number three, she needs to know her dad accepts her just as she is. So I just want to encourage you to check that out as well if you're a girl dad. So so again, that's from All Pro Dad. So something worth checking out. The other big takeaway that I mentioned a couple times because he mentioned it was being quiet and listening. And we've probably brought it up on the show before, and we know in the climate that we're in right now, everybody's got the answer to everything. And everybody wants to share their opinion about everything. And sometimes we need to be quiet. Sometimes we need to speak less, listen more, be slow to speak. And it's challenging to do. But before flying off the handle, before jumping into certain conversations, let's pause. Let's have wisdom. Let's ask God to speak through us. And let's oftentimes just not say anything and let that be the answer. So so I think that's just good for all of us to hear today. And especially for me, I'm a talker. But sometimes even with my, at home with my wife wanting to give her all the answers or, hey, oh, why don't you try this? Or why don't you try to do that? I just got to listen. And one of my favorite radio hosts is Dan Patrick, and he always talks about being a good listener. And that's the key to being a great interviewer is listening. And so I think that translates to so many areas of life. What's our listening game like? And then, of course, when it comes to our spiritual life, are we listening to God? Are we hearing his voice as he speaks through his word, as he speaks to us as we go to him in prayer, and he speaks to us through other people that we trust, wise people that we trust? And so let's listen. Oftentimes we'll come before the Lord and we'll say, I want this. Can you do this? Can you do this? I want you to answer this prayer. Let's just listen. Let's listen. So good stuff from David Pollack. Hopefully that's encouraging to you as well today. Thanks to David for joining us here on Unpacking It. Thanks to you for listening. Great to be back. Coming up here on the podcast, we've got Leonard Hamilton, head basketball coach of Florida State. We got Mark Richt from the ACC Network. He's got a new book out, of course, former coach. He's also battling with his health. And so we'll ask him about that and what God's doing in his life through that. And then, of course, Mark Richt's former coach that he coached with, Bobby Bowden, passed away. So we'll have to ask him about that as well. So it was cool that David mentioned him today. And then next week, we're scheduled to have him here on the podcast and look forward to that. As always, I wrap things up by reminding you I'm a sports fan who follows Jesus. I believe in the good news that he died on the cross for my sin. He was resurrected. And through faith, I've been saved by his grace. I hope that is true for you as well. And I hope you'll join me as we live life as sports fans who follow Jesus together. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Unpacking It podcast.
For more information about the show, our events, and other resources, visit unpackingit.com. That's UNPACKINIT.com. We hope you are encouraged, inspired, and challenged by what you heard today. To support our show and Unpacking It Ministries with a financial gift, visit unpackingit.com/donate. We look forward to unpacking sports, faith, and life with you again next week.